Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Atlantic Hour with me, Eva. And I've got two special guests on today. Would the guests like to introduce themselves?
Hi, everyone, I'm Reesa.
Hi, I'm Thomas, and I'm back.
Thomas has become a bit of a recurring guest. He's actually been promoted this week to a co-host because the other co-host is in DC, but he is dialing in, so if he wants to introduce himself.
Hi, everyone. Coming at you, on route to DC for the weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm James, obviously. I'm excited for this week.
Yeah, I feel like we have a lot to talk about. It's coming very close. We're like 3.5 weeks out of the election, I want to say.
I've been receiving funding from a major super PAC now. That's what's got me on this seat.
Would you like to?
I won't say what side it's on, but it's the side that's going
to
win.
Well, if anyone's a weekly listener, I think it's quite easy to discern who James wants to win in this election.
James.
Yes,
to be fair.
Sorry, Thomas.
Just saying, I went to Trump Tower at the weekend, and James is also there.
I'm so sorry. I'm getting confused. Okay. Anyway. So we have a lot to talk about today. It's a race for the White House, and the Republicans and Democrats are basically just spreading themselves out through the states, trying to get those last few votes in. So Barack Obama has gone to Pennsylvania, where our...
Did he actually?
Yeah, he went to Pennsylvania.
Bro, don't tell my mom.
Really?
She's going to start crying that she missed it.
Oh, no. I actually haven't caught up on how that received. I'm sure it went absolutely amazing because it's Obama. Harris is basically focusing on swing states. So she visited Nevada and Arizona. And I think the whole consensus with the Harris campaign was that it's good that she's getting out there. Because she needs to really hone it.
I just wanted to come in really quick as well.
Yeah.
And say that also Trump had his rally on the weekend. And Elon Musk made a guest appearance.
That was so funny.
Oh, what a duo.
Elon Musk.
What a duo.
No, so Thomas is being very happy behind the scenes of this.
No, that was the gesture he was doing. He was like,
he had his arms up in the air.
Like, yeah, that's what he was doing. He was like jumping, but his t-shirt wasn't big enough. So it's like his stomach kept coming out.
Immediately, no.
He was like club dancing, but like at a rally.
He's a very an odd individual, to say the least. Sorry, James, did you have anything else you wanted to say about Trump?
I think it's interesting that he decided to go back to the specific scene where obviously the first assassination attempt was undertaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably this late in the election, there's a lot of symbolism in that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not sure how many voters outside of his base that were almost convinced that he's a strong candidate, but I think that within that state and within such fine margins, the prominence of an event, and especially all the media attention it's got afterwards, could work in his favour.
Yeah, I mean, I think lots of people who were at the assassination attempt actually went to the second rally of, like, the scene of the original crime.
Was that the rally where he was like, oh, do you want the black president or the white president? Because that was, like, recently.
Really? He just says those things like on a weekly basis. Like, I'm actually not surprised at this point.
Which one was that? I don't know.
There's one where he kept going about how good looking he was.
Oh,
have you seen that thing that's like, if I had to rate myself, like, I would give myself an A+.
Oh.
And we were just like, what?
It's because confidence is why I won in a president.
No. Yeah, you want someone who's confident in their economic plans, not someone who is. Concepts of a plan.
The thing is, it's also just not true.
Yeah, it is just, it isn't true. I actually want to look up what you just said, but I'll do that in a bit. But along with that, so Waltz has gone to a campaign in Detroit, Michigan today. Talking of Detroit, so Michigan's a crucial swing state, and Trump spoke there on Thursday and basically made a whole mess of the situation. So we all know that there's been an awful hurricane, Hurricane Helene. And he basically spoke about He spoke to an economic club in Detroit, and he complained about the federal response to the hurricane. And it was basically a long, rambling speech, which didn't make any sense and is quite characteristic of Trump's speaking style. but he basically, as he always likes to do, and we saw in the debate, he brought in China, and he basically compared Michigan to China. He said, quote, he spoke of China as a developing nation, and he said, like, just look at Detroit, so saying it was a developing area more than most places in China. Mm-hmm. And, like, to quote him verbatim, he said, our whole country will end up being like Detroit if she's your president. You're going to have a mess on your hands. So basically saying that Detroit is a mess. And if it, imagine, like, going to a place
and then insulting that place in front of its people.
And, like, I wouldn't be happy with that.
But I think it's quite a well-known fact that Detroit has gone down. I'm not just saying this to back it, but, like, I don't actually...
Well, yeah, their water is still, like...
No, but, like, it's quite a well-known fact that they were the manufacturing centre of the world, and then that... And they're not anymore, and it's quite a poverty-stricken place now.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily a... I don't think it's necessarily a fair point, because, like we say, every week, like, the Biden administration has been quite good with the economy. But, like... It's a point. I don't think it's as bad as other points he's made. I just googled the black president thing he said. It was about Obama.
Yeah.
So he said, like, people prefer a white guy to solve issues of racial injustice or something like that. I haven't read the whole thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I just think, like, he doesn't know how to bite his tongue. And there's a lot of cases where, you know, even if Detroit is having a bit of an economic mishap, that doesn't mean that you should come in, especially 3 weeks out of a debate of a presidential election. You shouldn't go to that state, which is a crucial swing state, and go, look at you, you're a mess, I can clean you up. That's
well, I mean, his whole entire thing is only I can fix it. That's like his entire
he's just
platform.
He's obsessed with himself. Basically the whole rhetoric of his campaign.
I just wanted to jump in really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
On the Hurricane Helene thing. I think it's interesting. So I was reading something that says usually at this point in the presidential campaign, there's what's called an October surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So something which will upset the race in, as you said, the final phase. And they're calling Hurricane Helene that specific event. And the fact that Trump has latched onto it and made it a partisan issue and tried to use it to almost steer members of the electorate away from Harris is very characteristic, as we discussed in the podcast, of his overall campaign and the way he'll make anything political if he believes it seeks to serve his campaign. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the fact that he did the same thing with an assassination attempt. You've got to question whether that brought to some kind of political desperation compared to Harris, who's just trying to help the people affected in these areas.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, even know where to be. James, do you think that the hurricane will really make a difference to the election outcome? Or do you think it's just, like, one of those other things that's just, like, fuels the rivalry between Harris and Trump? Oh. James?
I don't think it will have any influence in the
election. Me neither. I feel like there hasn't even been, like, a real October surprise yet. Like, he can try to, like, push this, but it's also not Kamala Harris's administration right now, which I feel like a lot of voters don't really, like, get. They're like, oh, she happens to be vice president, so, like, whatever Joe Biden does, she does too. But that's actually not how it works.
Well, she's announcing all the policies, like that $750 like, loan that they're all getting at. Like, she announced that.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're kind of, like, pushing to make her the face of it now because she's running for president.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw, like, clips of Joe Biden saying, like, Ron DeSantis has got, like, direct line and all that sort of stuff, which is good, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think it... I don't think it's going to be a massive swing issue. Like, Florida's probably going to go Republican.
Like,
DeSantis is more popular than he was before, and he's a Republican.
Yeah, true. I don't... Has anyone seen the like trend on, I think it was Twitter, it's like, it's campaigns for a new border and they just cut Florida out. They yeah. just draw a line through Florida.
Yeah.
I don't condone that. However.
I've never been.
You never been to Florida?
My sister used to live there.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Tampa.
Oh.
So like, I feel like if she lived there now, she'd be done for.
Really? I mean, I could have done an exchange at UMiami.
Oh my god, that would have been crazy.
Well, I've heard it's really cliquey. It's like once you're like, if you don't get a group within like the first week, you're like,
yeah, out. Miami only got one spot, so that would be such a bad thing to do.
Yeah, it'd be such a bad thing to do. Also, do I want to be in Miami? I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
it's kind of
year round for a whole year. I don't know.
I'm kind of terrified. But yeah, I mean, I think just like Trump tries to make everything about the election, as you said. Like, but we thought that the first assassination attempt was going to have a massive impact on the election. You know, we had those like awesome photos of Trump, like
oh, those were crazy,
and like the CIA on top of, or the FBI on top of him.
I think he definitely mobilized a lot of people who were like who were secretly, like, we have the UK, we have like secret Tories. Mm. I think it like got a lot of secret Trump voters out to be like, this is our guy, like, look at him, he's taking a bullet for our country. Like,
he's taking a bullet for democracy.
Exactly.
That's the line.
No, but I genuinely think like that sort of line like pulled a lot. And I think it, like, you can tell by I watched clips of the Elon Musk X interview with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You can tell that's when he switched. Like, that's when he was like, this guy is my president. Like, Elon Musk has a lot of vested interest in Donald Trump becoming president, because obviously, like, Elon Musk makes electric cars, China are trying to make very cheap electric cars, and Trump wants to put a 60% or whatever embargo on it. So, like, he's got a lot of invested interest in Trump becoming president. But when you look at that, you listen to that interview, it's like, he's very much like, this is a macho man who, like, would take a bullet and all that. Like, you can tell he's impressed
America.
By Trump.
Exactly.
America. His pronouns are USA.
Yeah, we'll get Trump on at some point, just see who his vibes are. Yeah, James?
I just wanted to come here really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah, just on Tom's point as well, if you look at the relative strength of Trump's campaign in July compared to the situation he finds himself in politically now, with all that advantage, the fact that he is still in a position that's very politically unfavorable and in a super tight race just shows the fact that the past 6 weeks haven't been good for his campaign.
Mm.
Because otherwise, I feel like at that point in July, most of us would have said that this was Trump's election to lose. The relative strength of Harris's campaign is that in a short period of time, they've made it a two-horse race once again, and they've almost shifted the narrative on the whole election. Again, we've talked in other episodes about how Harris has reframed herself as a change candidate, but the fact that you've got, as you said, as someone who labels himself as a man of the people and a man of change, who's now representative of going backwards, is probably a politically genius move from Harris and Walt.
No, that, yeah, that's true. I think it's such a tight election, and I think people are now starting to just like look at the both candidates' campaign strategies, and they're trying to be a bit critical of both. I think Harris is still getting criticism that she hasn't visited enough states, and that she's not, because Biden won, is he appealed to a lot of people in Pennsylvania, which was a swing state.
Well, Tim Walz was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
recently,
true.
Recently, yeah.
But Biden's from Pennsylvania.
But yeah, I think Biden's from Pennsylvania, which like mobilized a lot of mass. And I think they also, like, she's still shaky on economic strategies, and I think people are slightly worried about her. That being said, she is still in the lead, and we'll hope that stays that way. But if we speak of Pennsylvania, race is time to shine. I read a New York Times article last night that said, it talked about how Pennsylvania was the granddad of swing states. they opened the article with "Welcome to the United States of Pennsylvania," and I think it's one of the most crucial swing states. There was a study that said whoever wins Pennsylvania has a 90% chance of winning the election.
Oh,
so, you know, you're sitting on gold, basically.
It's, well, my absentee ballot comes in today.
Yeah.
So
one that's ring of states.
Yeah.
What?
What state to rule them all?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna
Rita for president.
I'm gonna contribute.
You have a very good chance of running for president if you're what? From Pennsylvania.
I don't think I would ever do that. My brother, maybe. Really? Not me.
Well, we can get him on.
Yeah, we've got a lot of pull here.
Yeah, we can launch your campaign. We can mobilize a mass. What would our like slogan be?
Okay, wait.
I know my mum would probably make you a poster.
Well, wait, is your mum good at poster making?
Nah, she's a doctor. Oh.
I'm just loving the conversation I'm hearing right now.
Wait, what?
Okay, this is the beginning of my campaign?
She's a big fan of the podcast.
And she's good at making posters.
I've never seen her make a poster, but she can't be bad at them. You can't be bad at making posters.
Oh, you haven't seen my, like, year 9 science projects.
Well, I would love a poster.
My Halloween costumes.
Aww, that's so sweet.
That's really cute. My mom would just buy them. Spooky
season. But yeah, so the reason that Pennsylvania is so popular is because it's got a very mixed demographic. So you have like urban centers with like a large black population and these voters support Democrats, and then you have a lot of like white suburbs who support Trump.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I lived in the latter.
So. Oh, how does it? How? What's your experience?
It was actually so crazy coming from like a white suburban area in Pennsylvania to then coming to like a white suburban area in Connecticut, because I'm expecting like Republicans, like Trumpies, and everyone's like, no, like everyone here is like Democrat. I was like,
yeah, I feel like New England's what?
pretty
Democrat.
Do you feel like particularly politically targeted in Pennsylvania? Like, do you feel like there's a lot more like, do you notice there's a lot more like money going into the state with like politics and stuff?
Because
I feel like in the UK, if there's a by-election, it's like they're trying to win a constituency, normally can tell. They normally send cabinet ministers down.
Mm-hmm. They knock on doors.
They knock on doors, like,
and you have like signs.
But they spend like, you know, a fraction of the money that the Americans spend on Pennsylvania.
And so a fraction of the time.
Yeah.
I feel like there aren't really a lot of, like, obviously we have people who are, like, knocking on doors trying to get people to vote, but it's never been, like, people for Trump.
But you don't feel like there's, like, excessive, like, adverts or, like, just political mobilization, like, where you are? Or do you live in one that's fairly secure as a...
No, well, I mean, like, the town that I live in, it's, like, not a Trumpy town, but, like, when I went to school, like, also I went to a Catholic school, so that kind of changes things, because then more people are, like, Republicans, so, like, pro-life and all that. But I don't think that there wasn't a lot of, like, I guess the word you use is mobilization, but it just wasn't that active, like, where I lived.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, like...
So what do they spend all this money on?
Yeah, what are they doing?
Because it's, like, it's... I was assuming like hundreds
commercials.
Yeah, so true.
I mean,
I can't stop getting the guy walking across Connecticut on YouTube. Have you guys got
what's that?
Have you not got it yet? Mm-mm. All my YouTube ads are the senator. He walks across Connecticut in a Yukon hat, and he just goes.
What? And like how, like, it's like a constant thing, or
it's like a YouTube ad. So like.
Oh, I thought it was like a literal guy. Just like
no, it's like a YouTube ad of the senator. Track like marathon, he keeps talking about how much he loves Connecticut and how he loves walking across it.
Oh,
so I guess.
Rogue. Okay, I mean, I guess like that.
I've never seen that.
I mean, I guess really? Maybe that could mobilize at least like 2 voters. But I mean, it brings it in the forefront of their mind, you know. Mm. But the fact is that both Harris and Trump need to mobilize their support in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I think what Harris needs to do. Someone said to Harris, and I can't remember who, said, "You've got to stop trying to make everyone like you. You've just got to hone in on the people who do like you and secure their votes." So for example, like Harris can really hone in on like the smaller cities with a lot of Latino immigrants, and Trump can kind of maximize his voice in struggling industrial towns. Kind of that's like 2 examples. And also, if we talk about like more of their strategies, as we just discussed, although apparently not according to Risa, Harris is, you know, knocking on thousands of people's doors apparently, but look, Risa's house hasn't been targeted.
I did get like one guy. There's been like one man that knocked on our door, and I was just like, well, first of all, I'm not gonna lie, I don't answer every time someone knocks on the door, so maybe they're coming and I'm just not answering. Oh. But I did get one guy who knocked on our door, and he was just like, because they like know your name, so it's like
that's crazy.
They're looking for like Oscar Calm, and they're like, where is he? I'm like, oh, like he's not here right now, like what do you want? They're like, oh, we just want to see if he's like registered to vote. And I was like, yeah, he is, we're all voting for Kamala Harris. And then they're like, oh, that's great, and then they go on their way. It's kind of odd that they know your names, though, but I guess that's just...
Do you know when they knock on the door, like, if they're Republican or Democrat?
They have, like, the flyers that they're holding, like, the hat,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Understood. Yeah.
In the UK, they just wear ties. They've got a blue tie, yeah. They're conservative, they've got a red tie, they're Labour.
Or they, like, put a, like, a slip through your newspaper. Or they've got... No,
they have rosettes. I forgot about that. They have, like, badges. They have badges with ribbons coming off them if they're the candidate.
Yeah, because also, like, the Labour's... logo is like a rose, and I think at some point they had like a rose like stick that was
It's funny, you just see people walking around the streets with like these like badges with ribbons coming off. It's really funny.
I remember in the when David Cameron won the election, like they would like slip in like through your letterbox like leaflets, and it's like it'll be like my mum's name, and it's like David Cameron needs you. It's a bit of Weimar Germany.
I literally got a text yesterday. It was like, Ray, you said, this is, we won't stop calling and we won't stop texting. There are so many ballots that haven't been turned in yet, and yours is one of them. And I was like...
It's coming.
I haven't gotten it yet. Yeah. Like, give me a chance, please.
Yeah, they're really... Oh, so they're really honing in on non-voters.
Yeah, especially, like, younger people, too.
Yeah. Michelle Obama has created a campaign to, like, mobilize voters. Also, I was looking at the Urban Outfitters clothing website this morning, and all of the...
me too.
And I was like, going out tops. And they were all like, vote like a woman, or like, good friends don't let friends not vote. And it was like that whole like campaign.
It's like really serious for young people. Well, I was in this
New York at the weekend, and all those little like side stalls had like Trump and Harris shirts. All the like the New York like pop-up stores had like, I love New York, and then like the Trump t-shirt and the... Watts t-shirt and like pictures of him, like the democracy picture and all that.
It's picture.
I took a bullet for democracy. Possibly the best line to come out of 2024. Yeah. Someone in my class actually came in yesterday wearing a Vote for Harris t-shirt, which...
Yeah, I see people with the badges on their backpacks.
Oh.
Yeah.
I rip them off every time.
Oh?
Do you replace them with a Trump sticker?
Well, I got Donald Trump's socks for my birthday.
Yeah, they had a little comb for his hair.
Yeah.
You wore them to Trump Tower, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah, I did wear them to Trump
Tower. Oh, gosh.
The second time.
I'd get kicked out.
How did you feel?
I just went because my parents were up, so I just thought it's a cool place to... It's just a cool place to be inside. Mm-hmm. I sent you a picture of it. Like, it is pretty impressive.
What is it? Is it a hotel or is it a office?
I think it's like a hotel slash business space slash like it's got I think it's got shops in it. It's got the largest
slash hiding place for when they're trying to arrest him.
It's got like restaurants and stuff. It's a multi facility.
God, it's gold. It's golden.
I just wanted to come in. With one other thing. I think on the point about the mobilization Harris campaign, what she's done well is what they're labeling as the everything everywhere all at once strategy, in terms of how she's approaching the media, going on like random podcasts, going and then
call her daddy.
Call her daddy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a reference.
Just everywhere and anywhere, and I feel like that at this point in the campaign is a very effective strategy for targeting those young voters who aren't going to be listening to the racist politics or
the Atlantic Hour,
major political like podcasts. At the time, so I think that's like a good play from her at this point.
Yeah, because I think
can't wait for her to come on here.
She's got to meet people where they're at.
Kamala HQ is running the show on TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, what, the brat summer's now over.
That TikTok page is literally insane.
It's brilliant.
Did you see they use the England football one?
No.
The, you know, pressure's for Tyler, Alan Shearer one.
Pressure? What pressure? Yeah.
Saka.
That was a good one.
I would love I would love to do like an internship in like one of these like big like mass advertising like corporations. Just see like the brains behind it, because it's just me like, it's like you're like your standard like Barry who's just like,
I think Kamala HQ is like Gen Z people.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Have you seen that trend on TikTok that's like when like Gen Z marketing like writes the speech. It's like this like random guy in like a museum in like New York, and he's like, this mannequin is giving.
Oh, I've seen loads of those. Yeah. Like, loads of universities are doing
them.
Yeah,
loads of universities. But Gen Z is taking over is the moral of this podcast, basically. Yeah. But I think that's really useful because it's Gen Z who are more likely to vote for Harris, I think.
Yeah, well, definitely.
But they're also the least likely to vote.
Yeah.
Which is why, as Reese said, going on podcasts like, what is it?
Call Her Daddy.
Is good. I mean, it might not be like super political or like policy driven, but it's still like it brings her name to like people's minds. And, like,
yeah, that's why like Taylor Swift's endorsement was like crazy.
Yeah,
because now like every single like what like white woman who can vote now, they're like, oh my god, like wait.
Yeah,
Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris, which is why Donald Trump hates Taylor Swift. So.
It was sort of a half-assed endorsement, though, wasn't it?
I think she endorsed Joe Biden, like, a while ago.
I'm endorsing Trump I'm endorsing Kamala because people have been saying that I'm endorsing Trump or something like that. It was I'm doing it because people are faking what I'm saying.
Yeah. I wasn't,
which I guess makes sense, like just say what you're gonna do, but like
I think there was like a whole thing that was like, oh, if she comes out like she's gonna be threatened, like you put yourself in the limelight.
She is weirdly important, but she's important, so
she's important to the economy, to society.
Everything she does, politics, like does something.
She turns
she's contributing about 6 degrees to global warming.
Yeah, her in that private jet.
So as we discussed, Taylor More Swift is responsible for Hurricane Helene. Anyway, beside the point.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the one topic that everyone loves to talk about, including me, which is Trump and women. So Trump...
Not two things I love more in this world.
Oh,
his own woman hates him, blushing.
Yeah, apparently they don't live together. Oh, that's a rumour, but... Have you seen the book?
She's like, she's like writing a book, and she's like, pro-choice in the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait.
She's like, it's a fundamental right for women, and everyone was like...
Girl, what?
And she's like, I've always supported this. And then it's like going directly against
which
what
is crazy work because Trump walks around and he's like, I'm the reason why Roe v. Wade was overturned.
So
but odd. Your wife is in the back and she doesn't agree with you. Me personally, divorce.
I agreed.
I mean, there's lots of rumors that they're not actually together and stuff and she hates him.
Well, he's definitely had millions of affairs.
But also,
love the player, hate the game. Is that the phrase?
don't hate the player, hate the game.
But anyway, so Trump a couple of weeks ago, and I just caught on to this, it just caught media attention. He basically stood up and he said in a rally to women, I will be your protector. If you vote for me, you will not have to worry about abortion. Ambiguous on what that means. First of all, A, I don't want to be protected by you. B, why would I want to be protected by someone who's been convicted of sexual assault?
Yeah, that's a bad
thing. Like, oh, but you're a champion for women.
Yeah. Oh, but you support women. That's brilliant. He's been found liable for sexual abuse, and he's
like literally civil litigations. He's been found guilty, and he's had to pay.
Exactly.
But he's a champion for women.
And he's gonna protect us, Risa.
Oh my god, wait.
Wait. Okay, brilliant. My life.
That absentee ballot. I'm about to switch. Wait. Wait.
I want some protection.
Go on, Tom. Let's expand on that statement. Why do you need protection?
Oh, I feel so unsafe in this world without feeling a strong man leading it.
For real.
Strong white
me,
man.
Yeah. But yeah, it is mental about Melania Trump. I would love to be a fly on the wall in like a dinner conversation they have.
They don't have dinner. Like.
Melania eats dinner with Barron, and then Trump is somewhere else.
Where's Barron gone to uni?
He goes to NYU.
NYU
Guys,
Business
School. Find him.
Get him on the pod.
Get him on the pod.
I'll find him, chloroform him, and he'll wake up in here.
I wonder what it's like though, like to be the child of Donald, because like all the rest of his kids, they're like old, and
Whoa.
And they're just like backing their dad because like whatever. Yeah. But imagine being how old is he, like 18? Yeah. Baron Trump.
I would actually also crazy. Why is his name Baron? Like
I feel like there's worse. I feel like Baron isn't that bad.
Yeah, but
Yeah, maybe.
Elon Musk named his kid something like
XX Ashby. And they dropped the...
Because it violated the state's... Like,
yeah.
Because you can't have like a number and a name.
Yeah, oh so they have to drop to B12. It's after. I think I can't remember if it was B12 or something else, but it's after their favorite. The it's after their favorite plane.
Their favorite plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like AK. No, not AK.
No, it's like it's something 12. Like, B12 is a plane, but I don't know if it's that B12 bomber or B2 bomber. Actually, that's right. But
that was absolutely well. I actually want to try and find the.
I mean,
audio.
What's worse though, that or Bambi?
What, Molly May?
Yeah.
Hey, not too much on Molly May. Don't start. I love that. No, actually, don't start because I love that woman. Oh, my God. She can name her kid whatever she wants.
Really?
And Bambi, really? You know what? It's kind of cute because Molly May did it.
James, any input on the naming?
As soon as James leaves the studio.
I'm just shocked
that the podcast has descended. I think you mean ascended, James. Yeah. The quality has gotten better.
Molly May? Bro.
Just on the...
Yeah, good.
Yeah, sorry, go back.
Back, to
go
the point.
We'll record on Molly May podcast later.
This is the B side.
The link will be in the description.
A significant number of women in the United States are still going to vote for Donald Trump come the election.
But it's white women. Sorry. So,
but how can they love Taylor Swift and Trump?
You've got a question. Why is that? Because the partisan nature of the U.S. overrides even women's choice over their own bodies. They'd rather not vote for a Democrat. That the state of the country as a result of that is crazy.
I think it's
it's an issue that's going to affect these women's children. If not them, and their grandchildren, and their grandchildren after them. I was listening to something that a woman who was arguing that you've got a situation where people from our generation are going to have less rights than 50 years ago, which is shocking.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
People aren't almost more like fervent over the reality of what another Trump president is going to do, because at the end of the day, it's not a joke. This is a horrible situation for millions and millions of people.
Yeah, agreed.
But I don't think that is almost the responsibility nearly of a presidential candidate. I think the fact that abortion rights were held up by a court case is part of the problem with America. Like, realistically,
well, it's because Donald Trump appointed like two or three of those people.
But like the point is that like it shouldn't be up to eight people to keep that on nine. Sorry, I don't know how many nine to keep that in place. It should be a law,
which is true, but we have to just use the system that we have right now, and then go from there. Like we can't restart everything now.
Yeah.
So we just have to look at Donald Trump appointed two or. Okay. Well,
sorry, taking down America.
No, I feel like the broad problem with America is the Supreme Court. I feel like the fact that you have a lot of your laws and a lot of your rights protections are upheld by a changing group of people who have political ideas.
It doesn't even change that much though, because they're on there for life.
Exactly, but like you've had this massive shift in the last 10 years, and you've seen what you've seen the outcome of that.
Just on your point, Tom, the reason why the judiciary at all levels looks the way it is because of 4 years of Trump.
He literally reshapes
the entire judiciary of the United States.
So he appointed two or three of them.
If you give this man another 4 years, and we can clearly see he's more crazy now than he was back then.
And Clarence Thomas is going to resign.
Going to be come 2028, and I don't think any of us want to see that.
No. Speaking of his crazy beliefs, I've got the audio of him saying, "Just listen to how he speaks about women." wait, sorry.
You will be protected, and I will be your protector. Women will be happy, healthy, confident, and free.
It's like a perfume.
I was going to say a different kind of...
And they'll have really shiny hair.
You will no longer be thinking about abortion.
Thank God.
What?
Brilliant. You'll be confident, happy, and free.
I just want to know, like, how his brain works. Like,
I don't know.
Truly, it's a mystery to me.
It's just, you know, he's got that level of self-confidence everybody aspires to.
Protect women and have them not to think about abortions.
Yep.
Well, he's the Christ is risen again.
No, his supporters really think he's Jesus anyway. Oh my God.
He thinks he's Jesus.
But ultimately, abortion is probably now a state's issue, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, it's not. There's Like Kamala.
Yeah, but it's like
Kamala and Biden both are both promised to sort it out, but ultimately there's the chance that they're not going to be able to.
But as we've discussed, I think in maybe last week's debate or 2 weeks ago, the fact that it's a state's issue has just like, you know, put fire in the fuel in the fire. I don't know what the saying is, but
added fuel to the fire.
Added fuel to the flames.
Just on that point about the judiciary, there's two justices at the moment, Alito and Thomas, who are looking at potentially retiring from the judiciary. So if Harris gets elected and she can replace those two with liberal justices, then there would then be a majority of liberal justices in the judiciary again, Tom. So that could actually, if there was another case brought against Roe v. Wade in which they were able to execute judicial review, that could have the potential to bring it back to the federal government. Obviously, it's not a given. But
I think they'll stick it out. Like,
that's a big possibility.
You think if she gets elected, they'll just stay?
Yeah, because they can. Like, yeah. I like what Keir Starmer's done in the UK, what he's going to do in the UK, where he's going to, all Lords have to go at 80. That makes a lot of sense.
Bro, 80 is too old.
Yeah. It's too old, but like, it's a limit.
He's still keeping the House of Lords. There was rumours that he was going to get rid of him.
He can't, there's too,
too much
like, Tony Blair couldn't do it. Like, he's not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, true.
But I feel like they'll just stick it out and like, but like, just because they're conservative doesn't necessarily mean, like, I think John Roberts, who's the Chief Justice, I think I remember doing this at A-level, I think there were a couple cases where he upheld Roe v. Wade, but I think just the overall majority eventually overtook that. But yeah, that's still a mad thing. It's like, a right was upheld because, and it was got rid of because basically three guys who disagreed with it were put on the court.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Trump's trying to say when he's like, I'm protector of women, he's trying to, you know, kind of appeal to women who...
And the thing is, they fall for it too, which is just like...
Yeah, but the phrase, you won't have to think about abortion, is so vague. Like, what does that mean?
I think he... I think
what means, does that means mean? Don't have one.
Don't have one, and now you can't, so...
Yeah. I've solved it for you. Why are you thinking about this? It's already predetermined. Exactly.
It's illegal, so...
No, for real, yeah. But the whole point is the fact that if you leave up to state, you'll have women who can't have an abortion in one state having to travel to another state.
Not to mention the amount of, like, bans that are now occurring, like, every day, six-week ban.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, because it's 6 weeks.
People don't even know. People
don't even know they're pregnant, which is...
Mm. It's absolutely mental. But this is the country we're currently in, so...
We get to leave. You don't.
Yeah,
I could leave if I wanted to.
Would you leave?
Come to the UK. We've got Special K.
Oh, there's a double meaning to that. What? There's a double meaning to
and
that.
And I only know one, so...
I love both
it's not
of them.
The cereal. okay, moving on, before we get arrested.
What about Keir Starmer, guys?
Oh, no, okay, sorry, my bad.
Who?
Our Prime Minister, Reese.
Oh!
It's a great guy. He loves
it's a
Arsenal.
Classic American story.
You guys know I didn't learn about anything about America here. We talked about this already. I only learned about America in the school.
That's alright. So. We forgive you.
You didn't learn anything about America. You just learned about America.
What?
That's what you just said.
What did I say? I didn't learn anything about anywhere else. I only learned about America. So.
The greatest nation on earth.
And that's what they say.
America. Land of the free. Right. It's a bit of a paradox.
Except are they?
Yeah, well, America's built on a paradox. They were like, we are going
to... Land of the free, but everyone who made it was not free.
Yeah,
I thought
they were three-fifths free.
That's crazy.
Oh, dear. Okay, so rounding up with the polls, just, you know, see where we are at the moment. Okay, the countdown stands. 24 days, 13 hours, 7 minutes.
Wow.
Well, 6 minutes and 58 seconds now. Okay. So, you know, just have the timeline going.
Yeah.
So, where we stand, Harris nationally 49%, Trump is 46%. It's a close election, but Harris is...
What's margin of error?
What a great question. I've never been asked that before. This is why we don't bring Americans or STEM students onto this podcast.
Sorry, guys.
It's a standard deviation.
Okay, well, now this disrupted the flow. You speak between yourselves. Because
if margin of error is, like, what, 3, then they're, like, tied.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's already close, though.
It's super close.
And also, the polls have historically, like, been wrong.
Yeah, also true, yeah.
In 2016, when they said Hillary Clinton, on the day of the election, all the polls had her in favour, and then in the space of 24 hours...
Well, okay, so Hillary Clinton did win popular vote, though.
The margin is plus three.
That was my prediction.
Yeah, so... you know, it is, like, kind of even. So
it's really far apart.
But...
the margin of error is three.
It's plus three.
Yeah.
True.
You need a STEM student to tell you that.
Whoa.
Okay.
This is the male thing. It's become a gender divide in the studio. Oh, wait, actually. I think it's just changed to... Ooh.
Someone check the normal distribution. Get the calculators out.
Yeah, it's basically been pretty even. I think it actually might be plus one for Harris nationally.
So she's lost three.
I'm not sure how she's managed. Oh no, it's still plus three.
Because they don't feel protected.
Yeah.
They're all too busy worrying about abortions.
Yeah, for real. So in Pennsylvania, the gap is actually closing. So Harris is at 49%, but Trump is closing in with 48%. So that. Set your teeth and edge slightly. But she's leading in Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada. I don't think it's surprising she's leading in Michigan, considering Trump.
I actually also read that Michigan usually picks the winner of the presidential election.
Oh, really?
1992, they've always been right.
Oh, really?
Wow.
That's a good sign.
Okay, that's a good sign. We can actually see how far up she is in Michigan. Michigan, okay, it's still pretty close. It's 49-48, but that's still something. And then Trump has leads in North Carolina, Georgia, and Arizona. But we'll see how that goes. So electoral votes wise, Harris is 226, Trump is 219. We need 270.
That electoral college.
Yeah, that's gonna mess Clinton up.
I can't even think about that. Honestly,
that was really upsetting.
Me and my roommates were talking about this the other day, because obviously Addie's from Canada, and she was like, what is even the Electoral College? I was like, don't get me started, bro.
I had dinner with her last night, and she asked whether Philadelphia or Pennsylvania was the state.
I cannot, and the thing, I don't, seriously?
It was so funny.
I cannot believe that.
I was like, I won't.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia. Pennsylvania's just inside that. Like,
she's Canadian, it's fine.
She was born in Maryland.
Was she?
Yes.
I love how we're going to a deep dive. But now that I've told you all, actually, don't take into account what I just said. I should have done this before. Who do you think is going to win the election?
I'm honestly convinced that Kamala Harris is going to win.
Yeah.
I didn't think so at first. But, like, honestly, hearing, like, you guys talk about it, because, like, you're not from here, and all of you guys saying, oh, like, we think Kamala Harris is also going to win, I was like, okay, outside perspective, I'm not, like, crazy. Also, this is just me convincing myself, but since we were talking about Molly Mae earlier, both Love Island couples, USA and UK, were black, so I feel like a black woman could be president.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, that's a very, very valid point.
That's my logic.
Yeah.
I'm not changing my prediction.
What's your prediction?
I was spot on 2 weeks ago about the vice presidential debate, and I'll be spot on now.
What's your prediction?
Kamala will win the most votes, but Donald Trump will be the president.
Oh, that's sick. I hate that.
And can I just say, when Tom made this prediction, the polls were 50% Harris, 47% Trump. And
what's
it's now 49% Harris, 48% Trump. So
you're
a
hater.
Yeah,
I think maybe you do have some...
I was right about J.D. Vance.
What did you say about J.D. Vance?
I said that he'd come off better than Waltz.
Well, Waltz said he was a bad debater.
That was an eerily accurate prediction. Yeah.
That was, anyone could have predicted that. He literally said that he's not a great debater.
Well.
He doesn't seem like he is anyway.
There's one person on the podcast to have the balls to say it, and it was me.
Well, we'll see if that confidence still stands in 24 days' time.
24
days.
And we will be doing...
discuss what we're
going to
talk about next week.
Yes. James, do you want to take that?
James is going to be there next week.
I can do. I mean, there's nothing immediate that is jumping out to me, but I'm sure, like, as this is the final stage of the media campaigns, I'm sure there's going to be more on their respective outreach.
Yeah.
That we're probably going to end up covering more stuff on the polls. There's no major events in the next 3-4 weeks for us to really unpick outside of spontaneous events that come up. But we're going to be covering it regardless. So.
Yeah, I think it'll just be looking more into the strategies of each candidate, looking at polls. If anything does arise, like another assassination attempt, what will happen?
I was going to say debate, but I think Donald Trump rejected it.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't think that's
60 Minutes stuff.
No, I didn't.
So is it the 60 Minutes interview that every presidential candidate has done since?
Oh, yes, and then I saw that.
Harris did it and Trump didn't.
Trump didn't do it because he said that they would fact check him live.
As they should.
I really don't get... this is one thing I really don't get, is the fact checking thing.
What do you mean? Like,
why? What's wrong with fact checking?
No, well, it's because all he does is lie, yeah, so he doesn't want people to say it in front of
that was one bit where Vance
he got the most votes in presidential history. Yeah.
No, I never get, like, the... I don't understand how you can say I'm anti-fact and still be, like, a legitimate candidate.
Because like, voters are stupid. Yeah. Like, just, like, imagine,
this is what the whole election is based on. Well, not the whole election.
But I don't know. I just, like, I always bring it back to, like, imagine, like, watching in the UK, like, and one of the like, prime ministerial candidates or, like, any one of the Conservative candidates right now said they were... Actually, the Conservative candidates right now might. But, like said they were anti-fact. Like... That's just such a mental thing to be. Like, even like in the
people
vice presidential debate,
delusional.
Where JD Vance was like, "You promised you wouldn't fact check me live on air." It's like,
it's actually
lied.
A joke. It's actually
like,
a joke.
It's like a child's like, "But you promised me you'd give me something sweet."
Like,
after
what?
I think it's so like that was one bit he looked bad.
And people watch that and they're like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense." But he doesn't want to be fact checked because the facts lie.
But you're
bringing
so much more attention to the fact you lied by also going, "You promised you wouldn't fact check."
He's Jesus.
You promised that if I lied, you wouldn't say anything.
It's actually like a hard watch whenever I like hear these people talk.
And then like in the thing, he's just like there's like a little breakdown at the start of the program. And they literally go like, he said that the interviewer would say this, which she never has. He said that we would do this, which we've never done. And then like he said that it's mental that
he's
like
a child.
He wouldn't do like the like one of the biggest interviews that a presidential candidate does in the campaign.
Yeah,
because he was worried that they'd fact check him.
Oh dear. Anyway, we have to end here because Tom has an exam.
Actually, I'm not going to say that.
He's got an archaeological exam. That's where we'll end the discussion. But thank you for listening. I'm sure Tom will be here at some point. Hopefully, Reese will be back.
I'd love to
she
come
was,
back.
I'm not leaving.
It'll turn into a four-person podcast at some point eventually.
Yeah, if we can do a night out without upsetting people, we'll have four people
true.
On the podcast.
And if James ever makes it back from DC.
This was a four-person podcast.
I will make it back.
Anyway, thank you for listening.
James kept it becoming a Love Island podcast.
Okay, Thomas. Okay, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.